Welcome to Easily Entertained. I'm your host, Maddie McLean. Thank you very much for tuning in to this week's episode. We are talking music festival failures, as that seems to be both a trend in real life and just something I am continually fascinated by. So we'll start off with a little bit of update from the Burning Man fallout. We'll talk about Electric Zoo or EZU, another music festival that went on this last weekend, and Fyre Festival round two. You heard that right. There's going to be a part two and not just like a sequel documentary, like a real life. They're doing it again. I love that we can never, ever be let down by the stupidity that exists in some people. You know, it's truly got to give it to them. Sometimes it's very creative, I will say, you know, finding new ways to demonstrate stupidity is excellent entertainment. So thank you from me to you. Thank you. Not to say I don't make my own stupid decisions, because trust me, locked and loaded with those. For example, today, a few hours ago, really, I think I made one. I went to my local coffee shop, shout out Summer Moon. It's quite delicious and really out of the gate, came out ready to party, ready to go full throttle. So they asked me what I wanted. And usually I begin with, and then make a decision right there in that moment. Decisions are hard, you feel me? And we make so many every day. But that just leaves me stressed out. Remember, we talked about fight, flight, or freeze? Well, your girl freezes even with decisions. Like, what coffee do you want? My father, in fact, will often, if we're out to dinner as a family, growing up, he would make sure that I went first in order to help me make decisions. But that just meant I needed to change my tactics. You know what I mean? Pivot, baby, pivot. So the way that I pivoted was immediately say, can we start that way? I'm not afraid to be that girl. I'm not afraid to say, can I go last? I think it's always, it's of benefit to like listen and figure out what everybody else is ordering and make your decision accordingly. That's just me, but I'm hoping there's other people like me out there. But that's fine. That's fine if there's not. That's fine. To each their own. Anyways, back to the coffee shop. Immediately said, well, get me something that will cause me to be significantly caffeinated. And my girl, Ray, with no hesitation, jumped in, grabbed a cup, said, say less. And she gave me their nitro brew. And I'll tell you what, she warned me. She said, you'll be seeing colors. You'll be hearing numbers. I said, okay, bet. Let's go. Let's go. So we'll see. Hopefully it makes for a good podcasting moment. We'll see, though. Let me know. Am I too cracked out? Maybe, possibly. That's where my stupid decision comes in. I know that too much caffeine will cause me to feel anxious and jittery and like I'm on crack cocaine, but I do it anyway. You know what I mean? I do it anyway. I do it for the thrill. That's not scary behavior or anything. Speaking of meth heads, so this is directly after grabbing my coffee and I decided what goes better with coffee than some breakfast tacos, some B-tox. So I go over to Taco Joint, if you know, you know, and I decide, I don't know why, this was my first mistake, I decide to just stand outside and wait for a few minutes while they made my tacos, because sometimes when there's just too many people in one room, it just gives me the worst anxiety ever. So I already, from the get, I guess, had three sips of coffee in and decided to stand outside in 100-degree weather to wait for my tacos. I'm sitting there and I look across kind of towards the street and this older gentleman, I make eye contact with him and I knew from that moment, I said, oh no, it's too late. It's too late. I have this, I don't know. Sometimes people want to tell me their life stories. whether I want them to or not. It's just what happens, right? So he starts walking towards me. I'm like, all right, well, he's seen me now. I guess I'll judge, be sweet, you know. Another mistake. And he walks over to me and he's missing like 5 teeth or something. And I'm like, okay, that maybe he just wants to talk, you know, I'll do that. Like that. I'll give him a chat. So he comes over and he's like, can I sit down? I said, sure. So he sat down. And then from that moment on, it was very hard to decipher what he was saying. It was kind of more like a continuous mumble with a few like coherent words, like, across the street, you know, right. And he kept asking me, right. And so I just nodded, just right. Yeah. Right. And then I started to feel uncomfortable because then he's just sitting there talking my ear off and kind of like very clearly unhinged, very clearly under the influence of something. And look, clearly I like stimulants. I had a lot of caffeine, but I don't need that kind of stimulant. You feel me? It became very clear in this one-sided conversation what was happening here. So I just tried to politely, I got up. I said, you know what? I got to get my tacos. Got to check on this. Do you need anything? He's still like mumbling. You know what I'm saying? And then, right? And so I just kind of like, okay, bye. And I go in. But as soon as I leave, he becomes the most coherent he's ever been. And he was shouting, mom, mom, mama, no mama. And it made me really sad, but also confused. And also,
am I of age to be called a mama? Is that really, that just is what got me. Ultimately, I tried to find another way to exit said taco shop to avoid him. But he still saw me and proceeded to catcall a whistle loud enough to probably break some windows. So that was fun. That was lots of fun. I love being whistled at. In the year of the Barbie movie, us ladies get to get whistled at. Woohoo!
So what has been going on lately in the pop culture stratosphere? Quite a few sad updates. Rest in peace, Jimmy Buffett. Cheeseburger in Paradise himself. That is such a sad, sad loss. What a great man who gave us so much. And in the same breath, Smash Mouth's lead singer Steve Harwell also passed away this last week. Rest in peace to those two legends. Speaking of two more legends, Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner are divorcing, and it's been confirmed, which is so sad. I swear to God, it's like continually the couples, I'm like, oh, cute celebrity couples. They look good together. They seem cute. They seem happy. They don't usually last. So that's sad. They have two kids together, one being a 14-month-year-old and another is about 2 or 3 year old daughter. Very sad. Sophie Turner seems like a complete badass. Joe Jonas, I mean, is Joe Jonas. I don't really know what more to say about Joe beyond the fact that Taylor Swift has also dated Joe Jonas. So be curious to know, you know, if there's similar reasons for this breakup, but that's sad, especially when their kids involved. This Venus retrograde was rough, y'all. I'm so sorry to expose my white girl astrology. I can't help myself sometimes, but essentially, this was actually my moment to shine in a comedy show I always wanted to be interacted with, and it finally happened, and it happened because he was scanning the crowd to see if anybody knew what it means to be in a retrograde, like what the hell is it, and he was right, I did know. Retrograde is just a word, retroactive, of a planet moving backwards in space. And when it does that, it's thought to affect like reviewing and reflecting and all the rewords. But it can also mean big come to Jesus moments, if you will, what that planet rules. So each planet is associated with an aspect of life, Venus being romance and love and yada yada. So I don't know, potato, potato, that's just what I'm going to go with. We saw so many other breakups. There was, let's see, Modern Family, Sofia Vergara and her husband, Joe, enter Italian last name here. I don't want to butcher it, but that was sad. They seemed so in love. So what can I say, folks? A couple that has gotten together, though, is Kylie Jenner and Timothée Chalamet. Timothée Chalamet, he has a fandom, like a Johnny Depp-style fandom. He's got girlfriends all over the country that are ready to date him. I just never would have put him with Kylie Jenner or Kylie Jenner with him. You know, it's kind of like the quiet, artsy, reflective kind of looking boy with a like high school cheerleader. I don't know if that's the vibe I'm getting if we're going into stereotypes here. But hey, they had their first moment of PDA at Beyonce's LA birthday concert. So, I mean, they knew that was that's a hard launch if I've seen one. So at least we have some people getting together. Love is alive, people. Love is alive. Now, let's take it to the glorious shit show that was Burning Man 2023. You know, I was prepped and ready to see all of the various Diplo social media posts, and that did happen. But what I did not call, and what many other people who attended apparently did not call either, was the crazy wild flooding that the desert experienced right during the most popular days of Burning Man. So Black Rock City, the desert and kind of temporary sometimes city for Burning Man, is notorious for extreme weather conditions, as you might imagine when you're in the middle of a desert. But part of what gives kind of Burning Man their Mad Max appeal is the dust storms and the weather. You know, they've got the goggles and all that good shit. But what happened this year was a very, very different and unexpected condition. So Nevada, at least the state as a whole, was hit with 2 to 3 months worth of rain all at once. So this kind of complicated the outdoor festival's vibe, if you will. Really, really broke his vibe. Killed the vibe, if you will. They essentially had this crazy flooding situation that turned all of the alkali and the crazy amounts of dust into just heinous, copious amounts of mud everywhere, to the point to where the organizers told everyone there, told all the burners there to shelter in place and to conserve water, food, and gas as much as possible, because trucks weren't able to make it and drive through this mud because it'll immediately get stuck. So nobody was allowed to leave or to come in. So everybody is stuck there. So not only at first, it's kind of like putting on the cape, putting on your Halloween costume of portraying just out there out there living that rugged lifestyle. I was trying to say rugged in it, but that's for sure not a thing. It could be the nitro cold brew talking. Anyways, I digress. This causes, as you may guess, quite the mayhem. And to see people's reactions outside of the festival too is in and of itself a complete display of, you guessed it, Schadenfreude. Everybody loves to see and witness, whether or not they'll admit it, the misfortune and unfortunate events of other people, particularly that of the ultra rich. That's just a feeding frenzy. The internet is ready. Memes are being worked on. People are furiously writing tweets, and this is where lots of internet gold is born, I will admit. But whether or not that's right, it's still people who are suffering, and, you know, it's an unfortunate position to be in. Of course, we can't ignore the inevitable irony that is all of these Silicon Valley tech bro rich people kind of cosplaying, putting on the role of living out in a rough lifestyle for a week, to then having to really experience that is, you know, you got to have somewhat of a humor to recognize the irony in that. Obviously, whatever, I don't wish anybody in a bad situation, but Let's just say that's interesting. Many people, though, burners that were there, were saying it's not as bad as the media is making it out to be. We're all, we come in prepared for extreme weather conditions, yada, yada. So, I mean, at least you got people that are usually in good spirits, especially if they've, you know, partaken in some party favors. I'm sure they're especially a little bit, how do you say, je ne sais quoi, chill with whatever happens, I suppose. But that's crazy. So they were told to stay there for over a few days. I think it wasn't until Monday, on Labor Day, that this driving ban was lifted. But that didn't stop many people from trying to escape. I could have guessed this part on a bingo card, that Diplo kind of somehow became the spokesperson for Burning Man at the time. He was literally on CNN, and I got a kick out of that, to be honest. But Diplo on CNN explaining what had happened. People were saying that, you know, there's Ebola virus breakout there. That's not true. There was no illness being spread around. Although, wouldn't be something new for any of us, right? Am I right? Is that too soon? I don't know. But basically, the reason being, Diplo and Chris Rock, interesting duo, walked or hiked through rivers of mud, trudged about 6 miles, and then a group of people that were also making their way out, I guess by car, they were able to get their car out, picked them up and drove them to Reno. And this was recorded, and CNN decided to include that in their show. I just think that's almost as funny as the fact that President Biden was briefed on Burning Man. I love it. I love it. My personal favorite quotes that any of the media outlets got was this one from New York Times. This is quoting Olivia Steele, a burner, an attendee. "Of course I'm staying," said Olivia Steele, 38, an artist whose trailer had become home to half a dozen other campers fleeing their leaking tents. "We come here every year to get schooled. This time, we got a great education." Round of applause. I love it. They maintain their Burning Man ethos. If you stayed, I guess. I think that pretty much sums that right up. So everyone's fine. There was no Ebola breakout. Nobody was a cannibal. And sadly, there was a confirmed tragic death of a 32-year-old man there. However, they're saying it wasn't related to the weather or anything. Rest in peace, and I hope that the family is recovering all right through that tragic loss. But sorry, sad little note to end on for Burning Man, but sounds like some people still had a good time and made the most out of it, which is, I guess, the best you can do. And I'm sure Chris Rock is definitely making the most out of it. There's a just video of him riding shotgun, riding in the bed of a truck with Diplo and their fans. So I'm sure he will have a bit come out about Burning Man and his adventure getting out of there. But turns out that was not the only festival that went to complete shit as well. There was Electric Zoo, or E-Zoo, an electronic or EDM type music festival that was held in New York this past weekend on Randall's Island. And this has been around, I mean, this, I guess, festival and company itself has been around for a long time. They also have kind of offshoots in Shanghai and Brazil and I believe Mexico. So this is not their first rodeo by any means, but it was a 3-day festival, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday, come I think a few hours before they were supposed to open the gates around 3 p.m. or so, 1 p.m. Who knows? They never did. They called off the entire day, canceled the Friday of the concert because they weren't able to finish building the main stage on time. So they literally canceled the whole thing. Immediately they're like, okay, everyone is eligible for a refund. So sorry. That's crazy. You have to know that before 2 hours before. And on their Instagram, they had cited, quote, global supply chain disruptions as what was to blame. I think we've about exhausted that excuse, everyone. This goes to everyone. I think we've exhausted it, you know, but it was fine, like, post-COVID, like, a year or two. And I get it. There's always going to be disruptions and whatever. But, like, come on. So Friday's canceled due to the supply chain, of course. And Saturday rolls around. I guess they're okay Saturday, but they oversold the whole thing. There were people waiting in 2 to 5 hour plus lines at Will Call just to get their tickets. And then once they get the tickets, then they have to wait in a whole separate line to actually enter the festival. Some people just never got in. Just it never happened. They were waiting for hours and hours and turned away. Come Sunday, the situation is still worse. There's so many people that are waiting outside. Apparently, it was super overcrowded inside. Meanwhile, they have like VIP sections that have so much room and very sparing people. And then all these people shoved in front of these, I think, 3 or 5 main stages. But then later on Sunday, they just made an announcement. They being Electric Zoo organizers made an announcement and said, nobody else will be let into the festival. The rest of the day is cut short. Sorry, we'll get your money back. Dot, dot, dot. Who knows if that will happen? But as this is happening, people then rushed the entrance and came running inside. Talk about a nightmare. That is scary in and of itself. I'll give it to them. They did have cops with like drones. Kind of scary that's a thing we can do now. Cops with drones. I don't know. Whatever. Separate topic. But yeah, so I guess they tried to make sure everyone was safe in there. And ultimately they were, but it looked like absolute hell. That's the absolute worst part. Now, even more so post-COVID, being in large spaces with a lot of people all tight against each other is no bueno. And that just immediately brings me back to the terrible, terrible crowd crush tragedy that killed 10 plus people at Astroworld, which was horrific. Seeing that footage, I just remember being on TikTok and seeing different people's POVs that were there at the concert. And it just really traumatizing me. Really, really. I can only imagine actually being there. Music festivals have just gone down the gutter in so many ways. And it is so sad to see. And of course, the obvious, well, why is that happening? Is COVID and the way that completely flipped society as we know it around. And now we're out of it. And it's like people are pent up animals coming out of their cages now. I feel like there's more road rage. People have just forgotten manners and forgotten like how to behave and how to be considerate of other people. It's just boop, gone. But then you gotta sit back and ask if there's more. Just this frustration or this, even the way people are treating artists on stage, like Bebe Rexha, a quote fan, threw a phone at her and it hit her in the face and she had to get stitches and she had a black eye. And then another instance where somebody threw their water, I guess, at Cardi B. But then Cardi B she stuck with her brand, I don't know, then takes the water bottle and is like trying to ask like, who threw it. She thinks she found the person that threw it, just chucks the water bottle at this person. Turns out it was the wrong person, according to some outlets. But there's just this complete breakdown of music festivals and just concerts in general that is a really sad to see go down, because to me, concerts are such a safe space where it's so cool to be around people that are there for the same reasons as you, whether it's at a festival, seeing someone you love, or discovering new music, or whatever. You already share that bond with the people around you. And I've always had the most fun making friends at concerts. I think it's like the girls' bathroom. Like, people are just way nicer in that scenario than in others. Just a girl bathroom. Let's call it the girl's banyo theory. You know, there are certain environments that people are just extremely specific in their demeanor and the way they're behaving and stuff. And I think that applies to concerts. But now it's applying in a much worse, like darker, morbid way, where it's like this crazy crowd mentality where people kind of lose their own individual sense of agency and make choices that are just going along that they wouldn't normally. You know what I'm saying? Like in a crowd crush or in a scenario where people are moshing and then it gets violent or whatever. Like in Astroworld's case, what they called raging, and that's kind of been part of Travis Scott's just kind of culture, I guess, his fan culture. I think it's interesting Travis Scott is touring again. And I personally, I had, which I thought was my sickest sweatshirt, an Astroworld sweatshirt. I never went, so I'm a poser. But the sweatshirt was really sick. And I wore it all the time. And I just had to retire that baby after that. It was just too much. Seeing the way he didn't respond, who knows? Who knows if he was ultimately responsible? He wasn't legally held responsible for those deaths. I don't know. I kind of disagree with that. I think there's a level of responsibility you have as an artist, as a musician, when you're up there. But who's to say? I don't know. It's all blurry. There's the truth. And then there's two different versions of it or whatever that fucking saying is. The truth is murky. That's what I mean. You know? I really hope things change. I really hope people are educated again on concert behavior. I don't know how that goes down, but maybe it's just like a do good for the world and kind of like tell, I don't know, teach it in schools along with sex ed. I'm not sure. And taxes and how to exist as an adult in the world that we're never actually taught. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can ditch the cursive now. We can give that up. I know that's sad for many a old teacher out there, but we can put that baby to rest. Continuing today's theme of ultimate shit shows, we have, drumroll please, Firefest Round 2. Semi-confirmed to be happening. Now, let me remind you, Firefest, if you don't recall, was the music festival that never was 6 years ago, in which two, by the way, incredible documentaries were made competing on Netflix and Hulu. I don't remember which one I liked better. I went back to review some clips, do a little bit of research. And I believe that the Netflix documentary came out before Hulu's. Netflix is called Fire, the Greatest Party That Never Happened, and Hulu's Fire Fraud. So, to rewind in time, Fire Festival was supposed to be this super elite Burning Man style, just in the crowd that it probably draws, where tickets were anywhere from $600 to $1,200. They are promised these elaborate villas that they would stay in, get to jet ski around in the Caribbean, and basically look like Bella Hadid and Kendall Jenner did in their teaser video, which went wild on social media back in 2017. Different era, am I right? It was semi-held in the island of Great Exuma in the Bahamas. It was originally supposed to take place at Pablo Escobar's old island or something, but then they said nope, sorry. So he changes location, he being Billy McFarland. Billy McFarland is the man, the con man really, behind Fyre Festival, who ultimately, in order to make this huge music festival happen, he had a lot of connections, and trust me, in a lot of his promo and PR interviews, he will remind you he's definitely a name dropper. He was working to get funds from these large-scale investors and companies. And he ultimately did, but he did so on a pile of lies and a pile of bullshit. He had quite a few different startups before then. So when this all went down and when he planned Fyre Festival, Billy was 25 years old. At the age of 18, he had created this company, which ultimately is a credit card company called Magnesis, that offers a membership kind of like it was modeled after Soho House. He essentially went around promoting this credit card company across college campuses, basically on the premise of join this elite crew, this elite credit card company, and through this, you will get access to lots of concerts and private parties and lounges and all of this kind of shit, right? So this is pertinent because he basically uses Magnesis, his previous company, and sounds like he's worked on and launched a ton of companies. So definitely a serial entrepreneur, if we can call him that, and goes to investors and says, hey, we've got this way larger fan base and audience with Magnesis, so we can turn this into Fyre Festival. So from there, his lies expand and expand until he is just conning all of these people out of their money. And what he has gone on to say is there was like an emergency payment sheet that he would get every single day leading up to Fyre Fest of who they needed to pay in order to not have this thing go to the ground. But nothing was working. He's just not telling anybody that. And then the epic failure of these people arriving to an island full of FEMA tents, so emergency like survival tents, no villas, hell no, like a few porta potties, no showers, and essentially a piece of bread and cheese and like these really sad looking shredded lettuces. That's fun. Yeah, so it was definitely not as promoted and people were freaking out. Nobody's there. All of the musical acts have canceled, have bailed out. They had the likes of Disclosure and Blink 182 and all of these bands, high profile, slated to play, none of which happened. And then it went from there to trying to desperately get people out of this island. It left many people, locals, also not being paid for their work as employees. So that happened, and ultimately Billy McFarland was pled guilty to 2 counts of wire fraud and spent time in jail. So he was supposed to go for about 6 years. He came out early. He went into jail March of 2018 and was let out early, late March of 2022. So late March of last year. But that did not stop him. He even, literally while he was out on bail for those first 2 charges, then was caught selling fake tickets to Coachella and like the Met Gala and all of this shit, literally while he was being awaiting sentencing. So he got more time. And even when he was in jail, he was preparing for his next scam. He's the one that just won't quit. He is the catcaller of men. You know what I mean? The ones that just won't quit. They use that one line that worked one time on one girl and just desperately keep trying to use it till it works again. That's the vibe I get from good old Billy McFarland. I did the displeasure of listening to 2 of his interviews post jail, and it just ultimately sounds like he learned diddly shit about it. So it also says a lot of 2 of the big podcasts that he did interviews on. One was Diary of a CEO, which is a really great podcast. And as you can imagine, interviews a lot of CEOs and gets into their personal lives and really, really great interviews. But it just makes sense for a narcissist and a con man like him to choose one that calls him a CEO. And then the other one he did was Total Send, which is just like Fratty Boy. It's still good, entertaining, no hate, but like it makes sense, you know? So they're kind of hyping him up a little bit. And really, it is baffling to me the amount of times that he takes no responsibility except for when he says, I take responsibility. It was wrong. It was wrong what I did. But then continues to make these statements that otherwise tend to prove that completely to not be the case. And he's, you know, blaming others. And ultimately what he says, the reason behind him continuing to lie profusely to investors, to people that bought tickets, all of this was to prove himself. So, and he says there's probably I tried to count, but lost track, like upwards of 10 times in 1 hour interview. So he's admitting to himself that this pressure and this desire to prove himself to others, to the hypothetical everybody, you know, is what led him to the fire fraud. Oh, speaking of fire fraud, he also was sent to solitary confinement after it was discovered that while he was in jail over phone calls and shit, he was recording for a podcast called Dumpster Fire. So that sent him to solitary, which he also continually references. I mean, I can imagine. I can imagine that being hell, being in solitary, but it was just very emphasized. And he emphasizes it again with his announcement of Firefest 2. But yeah, so he was sent to solitary for recording a podcast, which is illegal. You can't be like making money while you're in jail. But while he is there, he claims to have written a 50-page plan or manifesto for Firefest 2 and how to best get it to happen and make it work this time. So he stayed true to that and announced relatively recently, about earlier this month, rather late August, that it's happening. Firefest, they have a website, Firefest 2, baby. But there is no confirmed lineup, no confirmed destination, really, outside of the Caribbean. And what else do we have? No confirmed date. But he's still, that didn't stop him from going ahead and selling tickets. And apparently he claims, they claim, which is hard to really validate, that they sold out of all the first round of tickets. And it's another like $500 to $1,200 thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, but done again. And the fact that it's sold out is really disheartening for the state of our world. But it's not like that's the first thing to really cause alarm at all. But pretty big. And there was an interview on Variety that did speak to somebody who did indeed buy tickets, her and her boyfriend. So they bought it for really an unconfirmed time in the end of 2024, somewhere in the Caribbean. And it's literally the pin on the website is just in the middle of the Caribbean Ocean. It's hilarious. So we'll see what happens to that. I think it's that fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, we're not going to feel bad for you. You know, we're not going to feel bad, but I will grab my popcorn. You know, I'm always a fan for coming up with original content, but I'll take a documentary round two. We also may see, this is out of the horse's mouth, Billy McFarland has mentioned the possibility of a musical, a live Broadway musical rendition of Firefest and how it all went down. Yeah. Truly, I don't encourage you to watch videos of him because I almost don't want to give him more clout. You know what I'm saying? But here I am talking on a podcast about him. Whatever. But it's just so very clear that he hasn't learned much. And if the whole reasoning behind that he is saying himself behind going through and conning these people and lying and causing locals too to lose out on a lot of money that they are rightfully owed, to prove himself to others. So this is exactly what's happening again. Now he has the ultimate test that he must prove himself now with Firefest 2. So I think we have another, it's going down, whether it happens or not. I don't know. Do you guys think it's going to happen? Like, I don't know. If you're an artist, you hear that, I was going to say Kanye West, but that just makes total sense for him to have said yes to something like this. But I don't know, someone like Coldplay, I don't know, decided and announced like, hey, y'all, we're playing at Firefest, an unconfirmed date in an unconfirmed place. Like, would you think highly of that band? I personally would not, but we're here for the entertainment, baby. We're here for the entertainment. We'll see who he cons next. But he's definitely giving the vibe of, I'm so sorry, but I'll do it again kind of scenario. We'll see. We'll see. I am very attuned to Firefest Part 2 and will keep you afloat, of course. That is all we have for today. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you for listening. As always, you guys are my homies. And if you enjoyed what you listened to, share with a friend, a family member, a loved one, a fling, a situationship, whatever. And give me a follow on any streaming platform. You can also stay up to date on Instagram at EasilyEntertainedPod. And we'll see ya next week, babies. Have a good one. Stay safe out there in stupid land. Love you. Bye.